Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Economics Report and American Mosaic, coming up after As It Is.
Let's do it again. Hello and welcome to As It Is, the program that helps you learn and improve your American English. At the same time, you can hear about important events that are happening all around us. We begin today with a look at China. We will hear how this country's strength is being felt in many parts of the world. And then we'll return to the United States to hear about politics on the national level as the fall elections get closer and possible presidential candidates line up for 2016. As It is coming to you from Washington. Now, here is part one. China is increasingly using its influence economically and militarily throughout Asia. But Chinese influence can also be felt in other areas, especially in Africa, through foreign aid and investment. Christopher Cruz provides many details of this interesting story.
In recent months, Chinese officials have been campaigning for the establishment of two new trade routes they call the Silk Roads. One of the routes would be a land-based road. The other would be for trade ships at sea. Earlier this year, China held what it called a Silk Road Economic Belt Media Cooperation Meeting in Beijing. Chinese state media said the goal of the talks was to rejuvenate the Silk Road by encouraging inter-regional development. In ancient times, the Silk Road was a series of roads that linked the major economies of Asia to trading partners in Europe and the Mediterranean. Alice Ekman follows China issues at the French Institute of International Relations.
We have seen repetition or an insistence on the concept of maritime Silk Road and a Silk Road economic belt that may announce development of a specific strategy or at least an emphasis on constructive new axes that may guide this regional policy.
Chinese officials say the land-based Silk Road would go through Central Asia to northern Iran and through Iraq, Syria, and Turkey, ending in Europe. The other would go through the Malacca Strait to India, Kenya, and then north around the Horn of Africa through the Mediterranean Sea. It would meet the land-based Silk Road in Venice, Italy. China's ancient leaders worked hard to protect the trade routes. Experts say China will also work hard to make the new routes successful. Alice Ekman says China is increasingly using its power through what she calls hard moves, such as territorial disputes in the South China Sea. She says it also has used soft moves, such as increased aid to Africa. Stephen Sabe works at the United Nations Development Program. He says China's international aid is increasingly helping other countries through job creation.
So I think what we've seen is a lot of governments gradually saying, the things you've done have been really helpful, you know, setting up the agricultural training centres or bringing out the doctors, building the building whatever it was, the government buildings, etc. But we now like you to be doing things which have a more direct impact on the grassroots, on poverty reduction at the grassroots. And so that message is coming through. And now the question, I think, for our Chinese counterparts is not whether to do that, it's how.
China is also reaching free trade agreements with other countries. And it is calling for greater use of its money in some countries along trade routes. The increase in ties between China and these countries will not only increase trade, but will help China's energy security. But some observers say just because some Chinese officials are working to recreate the Silk Roads does not mean China has an organized plan. Barry Sontman is an associate professor at the Hong Kong University of Science and Technology.
It seems to me that there are strategies rather than a strategy. That is to say, in China, there are a whole lot of people proposing strategies, and there is no one strategy adopted by the central government.
He says some of China's policies are based on competing ideas on how best to stay involved with the rest of the world. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton got some good news in the latest public opinion survey. Survey organizers wanted to know what Americans think about possible candidates for the presidency in 2016. The same study shows that the Republican Party is likely to make gains in congressional elections later this year. Jonathan Evans is here to talk U.S. politics.
The latest survey numbers come from Quinnipiac University in Connecticut. It found that Hillary Clinton has a big lead against others likely to seek the presidential nomination of the Democratic Party. 58% of those asked said they support Hillary Clinton. 11% supported Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. Vice President Joe Biden received 9%. The findings come as Mrs. Clinton continues to travel across the country as part of an advertising campaign for her new book, Hard Choices. The book describes her time as Secretary of State. She has said she will decide whether to seek the presidency by early next year. Tim Malloy is Assistant Director of the Quinnipiac Poll.
Hillary Clinton has weathered what some would say bad book sales, some questions about her tenure at the State Department, some questions about what she can define as wealth. And she sweeps the Democratic field in the 2016 race.
The poll also shows her easily defeating several men who may seek the presidential nomination of the Republican Party. They include New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, and former Florida Governor Jeb Bush. The Quinnipiac survey did not find a clear leader among the possible Republican candidates. 11% of those asked say they support Rand Paul. Chris Christie, Mike Huckabee, and Jeb Bush each received 10%. Tim Malloy says no one Republican seems to be the clear favorite. He says this is not unusual 2 years before a presidential election. Members of Congress are more concerned about the congressional elections in November. American voters will be electing all 435 members of the House of Representatives. They will also fill 36 of the 100 seats in the Senate. Currently, Republicans control the House, while Democrats have a majority in the Senate. Tim Malloy says the poll found that if the election were held today, voters would elect Republican majorities in both the House and the Senate. Most political observers predict that Republicans will hold their majority in the House. And they say Republicans have an excellent chance of gaining the 6 seats they need in the Senate to take control away from the Democrats. The approval ratings of President Barack Obama have been low in recent weeks. But Tim Malloy says the survey includes a small improvement in how Americans feel about the economy. He says that could help Democratic candidates in November. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And that's all for this edition of As It Is. You are listening to the Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington.
The Economics Report is next, followed by American Mosaic. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Economics Report. The Brazilian government says it invested billions of dollars to prepare for the 2014 World Cup. The money has been spent on infrastructure, like roads and stadiums, for World Cup events. It also has paid for security and social projects. The government says these investments will result in long-term gains for Brazil. But independent experts say effects of the spending are mixed. Urban planners say the $11 billion spent on stadiums and infrastructure has created jobs for poor Brazilians. But they say this development has a price. The public works have driven up the cost of housing. This, say some experts, has pushed poor people farther away from jobs and public services. Some people are questioning the value of police pacification units, called the UPP in Portuguese. Officials have sent these special police forces to drive out drug traffickers and other criminals. But the results have been mixed, says Chris Fafney. He teaches at Fluminense University in Rio de Janeiro. Professor Fafney says the drug traffickers just move their operations to other favelas. But he adds that the UPP have brought some order to once lawless neighborhoods.
So these places were previously closed in many respects to the formal market. But the UPP goes in and it removes the barrier of the drug traffickers and allows all kinds of market forces to flow through it.
He says these forces have opened some areas to tourism or state-supported projects or businesses. The organizing body of the World Cup, FIFA, also invested in social programs. Lisa Delpy Nirati is with Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. She says the investments have led to programs for educating young people about the environment, the disease AIDS, or the importance of staying in school. She says FIFA pressured the Brazilian government to accept some pro-environmental measures, like treating and reusing waste at stadiums. FIFA also wanted the structures built for the World Cup to meet the guidelines of LEED, or Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design. The U.S. Green Building Council set up the LEED certification program to recognize best-in-class building policies. Brazil's government says the World Cup will add billions of dollars to the economy. But many Brazilians believe the money will go to only a few people. Critics note that some cities in Europe have rejected proposals to hold huge sporting events. They say a new model is needed if nations organizing such activities are to avoid protests like those earlier in Brazil. And that's the Economics Report. I'm Mario Ritter. Welcome to American Mosaic from VOA Learning English. I'm Mario Ritter. Today on the show, we tell you about some unusual training for some exceptional animals, service dogs. And we tell about a farm in the state of Virginia where traditions from the early years of the United States live on. Then, we hear music from Robin Thicke. The artist is trying to return to his rhythm and blues roots with a new album. Air travel makes some people very nervous. The crowds, the noise, and flying itself can cause unease. But there are classes people can take to help them defeat the fear of flying. And now, Katie Weaver tells us about similar training for service dogs that suffer the same problem.
Service dogs almost never leave the side of the people they care for. You will see them working on buses, trains, and other public transport systems. But the busy environment found at an airport can trouble even the best-trained working dog. People with disabilities depend on their dogs. They want the animals to safely guide them through security areas. They also need the dogs to remain calmly on duty on the airplane, even when the flying is not smooth. This takes special training. The Air Hollywood Canine Flight School is one place where such help can be found. The school has a piece of equipment that provides the sights, sounds, and even the feel of an airplane in flight. It is called a flight simulator. The simulator was built for filming airplane scenes in movies. Sandy Alexander lives in Newport Beach, California. He has a disability that requires his 2-year-old dog, Doc, to be always at his side. Mr. Alexander took the dog to the flight school to get him ready for plane trips. He says Doc did not like the bumpy part of the flight simulation.
When that started, he was pretty agitated and looked up at me and wasn't sure what was going on. And I think we're going to be prepared the next time it happens.
Dog trainer Mary Siegel is with Canine Companions for Independence. It provides dogs for people with disabilities. Ms. Siegel says successful training is based on a simple rule, preparation.
Dogs need to be exposed gradually and repetitively to stimulation, to the environment, to loud noises, to sounds and other dogs, so that when this experience happens to them on a daily basis, they're able to act in a way that they're used to acting and that they don't get excitable.
Stacy Huckabaugh's 9-month-old dog, Striker, is still in training to be a guide dog.
I don't fly a lot, so I don't know a lot of the routine myself. So with a dog, I would have been lost.
Dog owners who attended the training at Air Hollywood Canine Flight School say they now feel much more at ease about future flights. I'm Katie Weaver.
Next, we visit a farm in the mountains of Western Virginia called Pharsalia. Ann Ball has the story.
That That's old-time American music to celebrate an anniversary for a house. Pharsalia Plantation is on a beautiful mountain country road in Virginia. You can understand why Thomas Massey decided to build the house here in 1814. He built it on a farm in the Appalachian Mountains, about 3 hours from Washington, D.C. Thomas Massey gave it to his son, William, 200 years ago as a wedding present. Recently, artists and musicians gathered at Pharsalia. They were celebrating the anniversary and remembering what life was like in the 1800s. The path is covered with small stones. Taking that walk is like stepping back in time. Many of the old buildings are still there, and they are still in good condition. There were demonstrations at the celebration, like the man shooting a gun from that time. A blacksmith making tools by heating metal over fire. A cider press making apple juice on a windy day. Patsy Meyer from nearby Lynchburg, Virginia, explained the American art of making a kind of bed cover called a quilt.
In the beginning, it was an early part of our country. It was all for the need of having warm things to sleep under. And so often the old clothes would go into making the quilts. The top is a piece, is a fabric that we have pieced into designs to be real pretty.
A local band, Nina Pinto and the Santa Marias, played a lot of American music with stringed instruments.
All right, I want to see you dancing. I mean it. All right.
Fiddles and banjos, both are popular American instruments. Banjos are round with strings that extend up a long neck. Listen for Jim Robertson, who lives nearby, playing a set of bones with the banjo. Rachel Deddins from Lynchburg, Virginia, was cooking in the old kitchen. It was in its own building outside the house. The cook from Pharsalia would have used the large open fireplace to make meals for many people. Rachel Deddins calls it amazing because of all the work that was done there, mostly by women slaves.
Some of these people could read, but many of them couldn't. And they just had this knowledge in their head.
William Massey's great-great-granddaughter, Foxy Morgan, owns Pharsalia now and lives there. Foxy Morgan gets emotional talking about living here.
It's really peaceful. It's just, we belong.
Once 10,000 acres with 4 farms, Pharsalia is now just over 20 acres. William Massey owned 170 slaves who worked the plantation. They tried growing new things like cranberries. Now the Morgans are growing flowers. Foxy Morgan says it's not easy keeping up the plantation.
I know they had to work really hard, and I feel like we are working really hard.
She calls her great-great-grandfather a risk taker. She says, not only did he try new things, he left many writings about life at Pharsalia.
There's so much, like he complains about his children and how fast they're driving the horses. And, you know, it's the same things of today you might say about your teenagers, you know, just with a different twist.
The Masseys knew famous people. Family history says that America's first president wanted to marry William Massey's grandmother.
Supposedly, George Washington proposed to her, and she turned him down and called him a country bumpkin.
Asked about stories that ghosts or spirits of the dead live there, Foxy Morgan answers this way.
I don't know about ghosts, but there are definitely spirits here, and when they're good vibes.
She says she doesn't know exactly who the spirits are, but adds,
they're just caretakers to make sure we're doing right.
For the Morgan family, doing right means taking care of the farm and all the buildings. They hope that in another 100 years, it will still be there for people to enjoy. I'm Ann Ball.
Everybody get up.
Next, we hear music from singer, songwriter, and musician Robin Thicke. Like many singers, he has changed his musical style through his career. In his early albums, Thicke's music was firmly in the rhythm and blues style. Magic is from Thicke's third album, Something Else. Its sound helped establish Thicke as a popular R&B artist.
I can make the pain disappear, and I can erase the past. Oh, I can make the future shine so bright, and I can make right now all right. Yeah, I got it, you got it, we got the magic. Yeah, I got it, you got it, we got the magic. Yeah, I got it, you got it, we got the magic. Yeah, I got it, you got it, we got the magic. Yeah.
Last year, Thicke released Blurred Lines, a pop album that rose to number one on the Billboard 200 chart and reached new listeners. But many of the fans of his earlier music did not like the new sound. Critics gave the album mixed reviews. Here is Blurred Lines. Thicke's latest album is called Paula, after his wife Paula Patton. The two are separated, but the 37-year-old Thicke is trying to win her back through music and public appeals. We leave you with Get Her Back.
All I want to do is keep it light, keep it light. All I want to do is make it right, make it right.
Thanks to you all for joining us. I'm Mario Ritter. Come back again next week for another American Mosaic from VOA Learning English.
I gotta get a go, get a go, get a go, get a bag. I gotta treat her right, whoa, I gotta cherish her for life. I gotta get a go, get a go, get a go, get it tonight. I never should have raised my voice or made you feel so small. I never should have asked you to do anything at all. I should have